Saturdays at 8 a.m., don't miss Sports Medicine Weekly. Fitness, nutrition, and injury prevention and treatment for today's weekend warrior and professional athletes. With renowned specialist of shoulders, elbows, and knees, and chief doctor for Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, Dr. Brian Cole.
I see more foot and ankle problems initially than I see any of those other categories. Foot fractures were the number one injury that was treated at Combine this year.
Sports Medicine Weekly, Saturdays at 8 a.m. here on 670 The Score. Thanks for streaming The Score. The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6.
I just kind of want to celebrate the Bears being fun. They are fun.
Yeah,
they are. They are an exciting watch.
Going into the weekend, we felt it all last week.
But it's not just because they're good. You know, like there's a team that's good and competitive, and I know you love defense, but like if you play 9-6 football and you punt 12 times because it's about field position and your offense can't do anything, okay, like you could be good and defensive oriented, but boring.
Right.
This team is good, defensive oriented, and wildly entertaining.
Yes, they are. They've got a few personalities too. Tariq Cohen is among them, and Anthony Miller is among them also.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Capital One Bank, USANA.
They beat the Vikings 24-10 in the season finale. Matt Nagy's first year, a memorable one.
The NFL postseason finally returns to Soldier Field, Bears fans. Listen throughout the week as all of our shows and team of Bears experts get you ready for the wild card matchup with the reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles.
We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
WSCR
and HD Chicago.
WBMX HD2 Chicago.
A radio.com station.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the numeral 4, KIDS.
It's a movement. It's a revolution. And I'm excited to be a small part of it.
Rich Campbell.
I'll get up with you. Have some coffee.
Chicago Tribune Bears beat writer.
Everything that happened, every last word is in my notes.
Bringing you the latest from Hallis Hall.
No matter who you play, I love winning. I think it's fun to win. When you win, whoever it is, who cares? Let's just play ball. That's the fun part. And that's what we're going to do. Tons of respect for every team in this league, but we just want to win.
Asking hard-hitting questions.
What impressed you about Lance Sapp?
Rich Campbell with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Rich Campbell's brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buy Ford now at .com. Here on a Built for Duff Bears Monday, Bernstein and McKnight, Rich Campbell of the Tribune on Twitter at Rich_Campbell. And we learned something about Matt Nagy yesterday. He said winning was important. He wanted to take his team into this pre-playoff week off a victory, and I guess after the fact, Rich, we can say that he's allowed to be right because nobody got hurt in that effort.
That's exactly right. And Nagy knew the risks of this, and he knew the rewards, and he valued the rewards, and you can calculate it all out. And the Bears lost a couple guys in this game, receivers, but it was early, so I don't think this idea of pulling starters or resting starters really applied to the injuries that Anthony Miller and Taylor Gabriel suffered, but they got through the game healthy and they won. Matt Nagy has been a gambler all season. We know him to be this way, and he got it right. So all credit to him. The Bears now get the momentum and the good vibes that came with yesterday's win and performance. They get the confidence that comes with dominating a division rival in a playoff-like atmosphere. And so Nagy pushed the right buttons, and he made the right calculations, and luck was on his side, and all credit to him.
So, Rich, what do you think was the truth then? Because last week we heard Matt Nagy say that he was going to have somebody monitor the situation with the Rams, and yesterday he said at halftime to Aaron Andrews he didn't know and would have to check into what that Rams score was. I'm interested in how Matt Nagy works, how he wants to work, and how he wants to apply, you know, that kind of, like you said, risk assessment to his team.
Yeah, I'm not sure we'll ever fully know exactly what was in their game plan yesterday as far as whether they really emptied it all out. That we'll never know, probably, and obviously they got through with whatever they needed to get through with. I mean, whatever they had up worked. And we'll, like I said, we'll never know whether Nagy was holding back things that he would have shown the following week if they had played the Vikings again. I mean, they still went to a two-point pass to an inside linebacker with Prince Amukamara in the backfield on that. So you have some kind of indication that, you know, they were playing to win and they had everything up, but nothing to me seemed particularly exotic or any of that. That San Francisco-LA game, the score of that really helped us from an analytical standpoint because it was so clear-cut. I mean, that game was so lopsided that there really was no gray area, and yet Nagy pushed forward with his defensive stars on the field in the second half and his offensive guys on the field until just about the end when it was clear that they had no life left. And I think that was important because that 16-play, 75-yard drive
was
on offense.
That bled them out.
And that is what they're going to take forward. I mean, for the offense to take something from this game, you know, it's the way they protected Mitch Trubisky. It's Trubisky's performance on third down, and it was that drive where they converted five third downs, you know, only one by penalty, that playing the second half was necessary to get that experience and to get that confidence. And so, again, he got it right, and all credit to him because they can really use that. It was Trubisky's best road performance, and probably say the same for the offense as a whole.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, about the environment and about how Nagy felt that there would be some sort of value in a hostile environment, in loud indoors with maybe the Superdome in mind.
I thought about that at the end of the game yesterday as we were able to wrap our heads around what exactly the Bears got out of this. And I was a little bit regretful that we hadn't pressed Nagy on this ahead of time. And I'm not sure we would have gotten an honest answer because he would have compartmentalized and distanced himself from any talk about the Superdome or New Orleans or anything like that. But having been in the stadium yesterday and how loud it was at the beginning and especially during player introductions and with all of the pregame swell and what that game meant for the Vikings, it was absolutely a formidable challenge just in terms of the hostile environment, the fact that the offensive line had to play with a silent count all game and did so excellently. I mean, if you just said no sacks of Mitch Trubisky in this game, I would have thought, wow, you know, something happened to Danielle Hunter or something. Like, they just played such a great game from an offensive line standpoint that, yeah, getting something out of that road dome environment is only going to help them if they end up going to New Orleans.
What did you make of the couple of PIs that got called on Prince Amukamara? I've been kind of noticing that, I think everybody has, the physical play of the Bears secondary all season long, Prince and Fuller. There haven't been a lot of flags thrown at them. There were yesterday. Any thought that changes how they want to play going into the playoffs, or is that just, you know, we'll take those two and keep playing the way we've been playing?
Yeah, I think the latter. I think the latter, and if I'm not mistaken, it was the Buffalo game where Prince was being targeted for that type of handsy coverage, especially in the second half, if I'm not mistaken. I thought Kevin White was interfered with on one pass down the left sideline that the refs kept the flag in the pocket, so the consistency, I thought, was a little off. But, yeah, Prince plays physically, and I think Vic Fangio, while he won't, you know, I obviously condone the penalties, and there's got to be timing involved and a sense of ball awareness and all that, but that's something you're willing to accept with a corner like Prince, who more often than not uses that physicality to stay on top of routes and prevent clean releases and separation, things like that. So you could tell at one point, I think it was the second one on Prince, where he just kind of put his head to the sky and sensed his frustration that he sort of had to collect himself and regroup, and I think he'll be fine going forward. But, yeah, that did stand out.
I've been very critical of Jordan Howard all year because I don't really think he's played that well, and I'm curious why all of a sudden it seemed like he got slower. Yet he rediscovered himself a little bit yesterday, and I'm wondering what is sustainable, what can be replicated, and what went right for him.
Yeah, I'm in the process of rewatching it right now with that in mind because I think that's such a big deal that they found some balance yesterday. And when you find the balance, especially on first and second down, you're in manageable third downs, which they've been in the last couple of games. And then Trubisky's having success on third down, and that's it. Suddenly, they're this totally complete team with the exception of the kicker, and they could go beat anyone. I mean, this really does unlock things for them. And Trubisky said it yesterday that because Jordan Howard was biting off really nice chunks of yardage early that the Vikings had to bring another safety down and start playing with one safety, and it enabled Trubisky to have success throwing the ball to guys like Kevin White and Javon Wims, who we really had no chemistry with in game situations. So that's everything to me. And I'm with you, Dan, that Jordan has not had a good season. I feel like you listen to Mark Helfrich, for example, and he even said this on Thursday. When a run is blocked for 8 yards, we need more than eight. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. So, okay, what can we infer from that about Jordan Howard? That he's not making guys miss, that he's not agile enough or have the right vision, or that he's not finishing through contact. Well, I think we've seen Howard start to gain yards after contact to get back to what he did really well in the first 2 years of his career. And they've gone to RPO game a lot. I'm not sure that was the case yesterday, but in the previous couple games, they were in RPOs and getting him going that way. But it's such a big part of the balance they need to establish to help out Mitch and to spread out the defense a little bit in a way that helps the passing game. They had Bradley Soule as a fullback yesterday and ran some I formation with that and succeeded early in the game with that. And so that's another wrinkle that maybe if they want to go with some more power blocking straight ahead, that Howard can do it. But I'm with you. It's been a disappointing season for Jordan overall. Yesterday was his best game, but only the second time over 100 yards. He has been slower than the Bears would like. I would be very surprised if there's not movement at the running back depth chart this offseason. But let's see how they can harness the momentum they've got right now.
Just like we always do on a Built for Tough Bears Monday, we're talking with Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I'm wondering, Rich, I know you guys split up the assignments once the game is over. Did you get a chance to talk with Kyle Long after the game? And what did you think of his play, getting him back into the offensive line against the Vikings yesterday?
No, I was in Matt Nagy's press conference. Gotcha. And unfortunately took him about 20 minutes to get there. I think they were dancing for quite a while. But from what I read that Kyle said, I think it was the right amount for him to play. He played, I believe, 27 snaps, and they ran right behind him on the first two plays of the game, 7 yards and then that big 42-yard run. So I feel like he got back into what he needed to do, contact, getting off the ball, communicating at the line of scrimmage in that noisy environment, just getting in and out of the huddle and then running around a little bit. And so I think there were a lot of positive feelings about the way he played. And look at how the pass protection held up, you know, all game, really. Witzman came in and picked up where Long left off, but overall, they were solid. And I think one of the things we can say about this offense as they get to the end of the season is that Mitch is not getting sacked a lot. I mean, it's about one per game, and I think the average might even be less than that over like the last six games. I mean, we're not seeing the type of free runners that we saw at the beginning of the season. And, you know, Long, as long as he can step back in there and recapture the chemistry, which I believe Cody Whitehair said that they felt was the case, that Kyle stepped back in there and everything was good right away, that only bodes well. I mean, think about this, guys. As long as Gabriel and Miller and Allen Robinson play next week, which Matt Nagy indicated yesterday they will, you know, that those guys will be all right. Eddie Jackson, we expect to play. The Bears will enter that game with only one starter on injured reserve, and it's Bryce Callahan. I mean, that is an incredibly healthy team. Got to be the healthiest team in the league.
You mentioned the kicker. I didn't mention it. You did.
I did, yes.
There's no answer. There's no good answer here. I mean, this sort of just is what it is, right?
That's it. It is what it is, and he's going to sink or swim. And we'll see, you know, if at Soldier Field on Sunday, if it comes down to a late situation and Mitch Trubisky and Cody Parkey, or if it's a late situation and it's Nick Foles and Jake Elliott, who do you want? You know, who you put your money on? Who's going to make a play? And the one thing that I've said for the last couple weeks about both, you know, Mitch and Cody Parkey, is that they still write the end of this story. You know, for all of Mitch's inconsistency and for all the consternation about Parkey, they still can make it all right, depending on how they play in these games. And at least with Mitch, there's an upward trend that's unmistakable right now. With Parkey, it's just not the case. And Matt Nagy was interesting yesterday because he was very clear that he did not believe the extra point miss was Parkey's fault. And he sort of glossed over it. He said, you know, it's not his fault. Sometimes other things go wrong. And I pressed him on. I said, you know, wait a minute. Your kicker is under an avalanche of criticism here. If it's not his fault, you got to say so and make it clear for us why you think this guy deserves your trust. And he still wouldn't elaborate, only alluding that it was a high snap there. But okay, you got to make the kick. The ball was down, and Parkey, I wasn't at his locker after the game, but I did hear that, you know, again, he was maybe not broken up, but he was affected and understands the misses have piled up to an unacceptable extent, and there's just no answer. As you said, they're going to go forward into the playoffs with him, and he's got a chance to make it right, or are we talking next week at this time about a miss that undid everything else they had going right for them?
Obviously, a big miss like that makes the decision for you more than likely, but do you expect right now that they've got feelings about whether he kicks for them next year?
They have to. They have to. And regardless of what his guaranteed money is, which I believe is like $3.5 million yep. next year,
yep.
If you brought in, let's say you bring in your favorite undrafted free agent, or even if you use a late round pick on a guy, and say this kicker is making, let's just say $500,000, and you have him compete with Parkey, and let's say he wins the job, okay? You're talking about spending $3.5 million on a kicker who is inconsistent and you can't trust, or a total of $4 million on a guy you like better. I mean, the $3.5 is a sunk cost. You've got to make sure your kicker and your kicking game is good. And so they would be crazy, I think, not to bring in somebody next year to compete with them, to push him, and see if they can get him back to the type of guy that they thought he was and that he has been at other times in his career. I mean, Parkey was he played in the Pro Bowl at one point. I mean, that is hard to fathom given what we have seen this year, but maybe he has it in him. Certainly he wouldn't be the first kicker to go through a very big valley in his career and come out of it, but competition would help, and I just don't see any other way around it.
It just sucks to be in this situation is what it comes down to. I mean, really, it's just sort of a fatalistic thing in that, like you say, here you are, you know this, you could lose a play, it could all be undone because of it, and there's essentially nothing you can do about it.
But
it's a scary thought.
Instances this season where he has kicked badly and it doesn't matter. Detroit is a perfect example. They blew the Lions out. The guy hit the upright four times. Yeah. And they are that good at other positions. And it might have to be that way. I mean, yesterday he missed again. They were so good on offense and defense that it didn't matter at the end. But you have the chance to go up 10 points with an extra point, and Matt Nagy is going for two. There's no way that is the sound math here, that Nagy has figured out that he would rather run a trick play than have his kicker go out there because he just doesn't trust them to make the kick. I mean, the percentages have affected Nagy enough to make him believe that he can score points just as easily running plays instead of kicking the extra point. And I mean it's going to be fascinating, really. And you know, for Parkey's sake, he's got a chance to make it right. I mean, if he kicks a game winner and maybe, you know, we could say surprises Chicago by coming through in the clutch for this team, then we'll remember his season on a high note instead of everything we know to this point.
Rich, the Bears are the biggest turnaround story in the NFL. The Houston Texans have an argument, but they didn't finish with 12 wins. They got 11. Who's the biggest individual turnaround story for you as you go to write, you know, well, you probably focus on the Eagles a lot, but as you go to write this eventually, biggest individual turnaround?
I think it's Kyle Fuller.
Yeah.
Just the fact that he has 7 picks, and even in game one, the one that got away, right? The one that if he made, the Bears aren't playing this weekend and they've got a bye in the first round. But to me, when I think of the Bears' turnaround and the explanations and maybe why we didn't see it coming, or certainly I didn't see it coming and didn't predict it, it's two things. It's the unbelievable turnaround in fortune regarding team health, that they are so healthy compared to how things have gone for them in the last couple of seasons when they end up with about 20 guys on injured reserve. That's number one. And number two is suddenly the Bears defense became the best in the NFL at taking the ball away and intercepting passes when they were the worst. I mean, they were setting the franchise record over and over again with 8 picks total, or each of the last three seasons. They've got 27 right now. How do you explain that? Well, it's great improvement from a player like Kyle Fuller. And to his credit, you know, he's going to the Pro Bowl because of it and has done really well with this coaching staff and their belief in him. And being in the program and just ascending, it's exactly how you become better. Take the guys you have, especially your highly drafted prospects, coach them, make them better. And Fuller's turnaround story, you know, has got to be as good as anyone else's, especially if you go all the way back to 2016.
Nick Foles will start Sunday. That news comes to us via the confirmation of none other than Doug Peterson, the head coach of Philadelphia Eagles. I think he knows. So first blush, what would be your game plan notes regarding the Bears against this team?
Yeah, I'm going to have to dive into it a little bit more because I'm not as familiar with them. Just, you know, thinking back to last year when we were in Philadelphia and that 31-3 game was so lopsided. Obviously, the Eagles are different now, but their offense moves the ball, and they'll spread it out. I think the Bears, from a pass rushing standpoint, will be able to affect the game. And defensively, I just expect the Bears to show up at Soldier Field, you know, rushing four and playing great coverage. I think they'll be able to hold the Eagles in check that way, the way they've done, you know, the Rams, the Vikings, and just about every other team that's come in there. And then the key is going to be, can the Bears offensive line block Fletcher Cox and make it so Mitch can exploit that banged up secondary? I mean, the Eagles defensive front, if Cox gets hot and starts to wreck the game, he can cover for a secondary that's really banged up. And in that regard, the Bears probably in retrospect would have been better off facing the Vikings, who we know can't block them on either side of the ball. So, you know, the offensive line is going to be a big deal, and they're going to have to establish that balance, you know, similar to the way they did yesterday in order to keep the Eagles' pass rush at bay and the defensive front from controlling the game.
Rich, thanks as always, man. Appreciate it.
Happy New Year, guys.
You too.
Happy New Year.
That is Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune. This is a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday. We are Bernstein and McKnight. We've taken a lot of phone calls. There are very celebratory Bears fans. So day drunk? How does that work?
Don't sober up.
If you're coming off the Bears game and then you're going into, do you start drinking eggnog?
Yeah, this is where
now?
I can offer.
Do you ramp it up later? Like I say, I'm going to be asleep probably before 10:30.
For sure. As an expert day drinker and a man who's been here before, I know this isn't your area.
Oh, I'm horrible at day.
I excel here. This is where I go to gear five. You stay drunk. Never sober. You can't convince yourself that you're just going to take a nap and come back to it. That never happens. You can't convince yourself that just a little bit of pizza and some water and a little bit of that's not going to. You just got to keep it even the rest of the way. You got to stay at that level and you got to keep it all the way through tomorrow morning.
And then so you pull it back up toward midnight.
You got to rev things up. Yeah, you can change the ordinance that you're shooting with. As the afternoon rolls on, maybe you switch to something light. Maybe you just click back to a few fewer Bloody Marys, something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you got to rev things back up once you get to about, I don't know, 9:30.
Maybe go to some Prosecco drinks early on during the day.
Careful when you put the sugar back into the diet, too. That can cause the headaches, and then now you got to switch back to a porter, something like that, to even you out.
He's an expert. I'm not, but he's here to help you through it. And we are talking Bears. They're 12-4. 12-4.
Success all across the board.
And one of their most complete victories on the road where they absolutely took the life out of a team yesterday. You saw them snatch their soul from jump.
That's the kind of win. That kind of win at the end of the season makes me look differently at the division for the next season. People have been trying to convince me of one thing or another about where this is at, where the division is at. I came away from yesterday more convinced of something about the NFC North than I've been before. We'll get to that next, perhaps. And of course, Matt Nagy's press conference at noon or as soon as he hits the microphone, we will bring it to you here on 670 The Score.
This is Built Ford Tough Bears Monday. All day today, we'll be recapping the game with all of our shows and team of football experts. Plus, your reaction, too. There's no Monday like a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday. Exclusively on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans. Brought to you by Ford. Inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buyfordnow.com.
This is Mark Melusis with the CBS Sportsman. It came to the surprise of nobody that Sunday night the Jets fired head coach Todd Bowles after four seasons. It had nothing to do with the 38-3 loss to the Patriots on Sunday, but more about what this organization hopes to accomplish in the future. He went 24-40 over 4 years, and that was after winning 10 games in his first season, 4-12 in his last. I don't care about his personality or post-game presser. He's a great defensive mind, a good guy, thrived as a player, an assistant, a coordinator, but ultimately failed as a head coach. He will not be out of work for long, however. You can bank on that. Now the pressure falls on GM Mike Maccagnan and CEO Chris Johnson to get the right coach in place to develop Sam Darnold and to draft and to sign talent to get the Jets back to some place they have not been in 8 years. The postseason. I'm Mark Melusis.
This is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it, but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash-talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Imagine your dream carpet installed for free. The Home Depot offers all-inclusive installation on minimum purchases of $699. That's removal of your old carpet, basic furniture moving, and stairs, so the dream carpet you want comes at the price you were expecting. Free carpet installation that's actually free. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid only on showroom carpet price $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers available at homedepot.com/license numbers. You think of the Home Depot for bedroom or bathroom updates, but bed linens or bath towels? Now you can find premium names like Laura Ashley, Eddie Bauer, and The Company Store at homedepot.com. It's a new year. Start with fresh new towels and bed linens from homedepot.com. Right now, up to 40% off with any order over $45 delivered free. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only, valid through February 3rd. Enter promo code BEDBATH15 at purchase for an extra 15% off.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Tom Thayer.
Tom, there was one time we did know what Matt Nagy was thinking on the sidelines. That's when Mitch Trubisky came to the sideline during a timeout. He looked mad. He looked like a guy that, you know, did not want to talk to his quarterback, and Mitch talked to Ragone. And part of me was like, finally, that's almost refreshing to see, because, you know, there's more of that goes on than probably the meets the eye. He's very supportive of him publicly. He's never said anything that would cause you to think he's lost any confidence. But when you see him coaching him tough like that, it shows you that, you know, there's room to grow for Mr. Trubisky, as good as the numbers were.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing about it, David, is there is so much out there for Mitch to learn about the NFL, the defenses, the anticipation of certain throws, how to spew the information out of his mouth, and you have a better understanding than he does right now.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Allen Robinson.
You guys as a group, as receivers, seem to enjoy putting pads on guys downfield, don't you?
Most definitely. You know, I think a big part of our offense, you know, is us blocking on the perimeter. You know, that's for short passes. That's for outside runs. That's for quarterback runs. You know, that's for everything, you know. So, I think another undervalued thing that goes unnoticed is, you know, just as an offense, you know, we love to see each other be successful. You know, it's a group of guys that we have fun playing together, you know, since day one. You know, we have a lot of different skill sets. We have a lot of talent, you know, and when you got that out there, you know, it's fun blocking for those guys. You know, it's fun playing with those guys. You know, you got guys like Tariq and Taylor and Anthony Miller and Trey. You know, I mean, we have fun getting each other open, you know, blocking for each other. You know, we have fun out there.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
When the news broke that the Bears acquired Pro Bowler Khalil Mack, the Score jumped into action with Danny Parkins and Bears reporter Mark Grody taking Score Guy reaction in studio.
Danny Parkins hanging out with Bears reporter Mark Grody with you on a Saturday. Happy Khalil Mack Day. Lawrence Holmes, what was your initial reaction?
This is a GM who is pushing all his chips in the middle of the table. I think that he should be applauded for that.
Connor McKnight.
Got a guy that's premier at his position in the NFL.
Danny Mack, what do you think of the Khalil Mack trade?
Bears. My jaw dropped. This isn't Jay Cutler. This is a guy who's been the best player in the league as voted.
Dan Bernstein.
If they're healthy at the end of December, they're right in it.
David Hall with us.
It's as much of an investment in faith as it is money when you allow your team to trade for a guy this dominant.
Habarkish.
I never thought it would happen because I never thought the Raiders would do this, but if they're dumb enough to do it, I believed that the Bears would at least be in the conversation.
Only the Score can cover breaking news like this. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Huge. I told the guys in the locker room at the end there, I said, boy, it looks good and feels good looking at these faces to end the regular season when we played Green Bay after that week one loss, and to see how far we've come as a family, nothing like it. And so now the real test starts. Everything's going to be a little faster. Everything's going to be a little quicker, a little louder, but I'm glad we're doing it at Soldier Field.
A very excited Matt Nagy, and he's allowed to be. He should be. He's done a hell of a job this year. Everything he said he wanted to do with all this, the enthusiasm and all the cliches about family and togetherness, and he did it all.
You'll never get him to admit what he thought the high watermark would be for this team. You will never, ever. Maybe in retirement.
I tried before the season.
Maybe he's, everybody, you had to just give us some sort of sense of expectation in your own team, but this exceeded his. It had to have. And I don't buy that coaches don't put numbers down on paper.
Oh, he's got, or in the back of his head somewhere.
Yeah, I guess maybe not paper, but I'm in a Word document somewhere. You typed it somewhere. Maybe you didn't save it. Maybe you deleted it right away, but if you went through the hard drive, it's there. It happened. Has this exceeded even their expectations? And further, you watched what happened to the Vikings. I mean, everybody did. If you're a Bears fan, you saw it. And it wasn't just that the Bears defense ruined Kirk Cousins. It wasn't just that. You saw folding. There was folding. It makes me wonder, and we haven't heard Mike Zimmer's name. Right? I mean, I'm scrolling through Twitter. We haven't heard his name yet, though he did say, was it this morning or was it after the game that he said, I'm not resigning and I'm not retiring? It was after the game, right? He may or may not be on the hot seat, but you look at that division now. I look at the Vikings much differently than I did even 5 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, even after the first game against the Bears. I look at it differently. That division looks different now. I still maintain that a correct coaching hire, or even a better coaching hire than Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, makes them pretty dangerous with what they hope to do in free agency as well. But that Vikings, the rebuild, the rework that has to get done there?
Yeah, they look broken.
That's titanic they look broken. Stuff.
And the fact that Aaron Rodgers is on the downside of his career, no matter who they hire. He's not as good as he used to be.
I don't know how willing I am to say that.
Okay, I am.
Yeah, no, I get that. I don't know that I'm in lockstep with you on that.
He's not as good as he used to be. He's older.
Was he healthy?
No, but I think that comes with being older.
That's possible.
Just being generally less healthy.
Yeah, I understand that point.
We're monitoring what's going on in the NFL with the opening. 7 current jobs now have come open with the firings today that have rolled in. And also, people want me to acknowledge the news that Seth Davis broke late last night.
The Athletic
on Twitter. And yes, indeed, it's not the day for it on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, but UCLA fired Steve Alford.
I didn't hear the victory horn sounding through the neighborhood the other night.
Yeah, but he says
the wind blowing in the wrong direction. Was it taken away from the house?
He's a man of God. He only has an audience of one.
He has an audience of none.
Yeah, enjoy that and go back underneath whatever rock you once emerged from. This is Tom in Buchanan, Michigan, on the Score.
How you doing? Love the show.
Thanks.
I retired a year and a half ago, and I wanted to go. Bucket list was to go to every Bears game the year after I retired, and this was the year.
Lucky you!
Wow, unbelievable! I've been to every game. And yesterday, in that stadium, it was the biggest home crowd anywhere. Everywhere I've been, there's always been a good group of Bears fans there, and you could tell. The sound that was going on in that stadium was unbelievable. I was just kind of grinning, but I walked out of that stadium yesterday truly believing if there's any team in the NFL that can go down to New Orleans and walk away with a win, it's that team in Chicago right now.
Sure.
I think you're right, Tom.
Why not?
I think you're right. Watch this defense through 16 games.
They still have Khalil Mack.
You've seen all that energy. You've seen all the effort. You've seen all the dominance. You've seen what it is and what it isn't without Khalil Mack. Who's more dangerous heading into the playoffs than the Chicago Bears? I think you can make the argument that there might be a team or two that are as dangerous. This is the old Ed Farmer thing. There's a couple that are as dangerous. Nobody's more dangerous.
Did you pitch in high school?
I did, yeah. Uh-huh. I pitched. How'd you do?
Anthony Carroll Stream here on the Score. Anthony.
Oh, hi. Sorry. A couple things. How's it going, guys? Happy New Year.
Wonderful. Happy New Year.
One of the things I was really excited about this offseason that might have been overlooked was getting rid of the old training staff and getting this new one in. And you talked about it before the commercial break. What a difference in health. And another thing that's been exciting me about this team is the depth. The past couple of years when everyone was hurt, you got guys like Deion Bush and Callahan. I know he's out, but guys that looked like they came off the street and they've been stepping up. And because of it now, all that extra playing time the past couple of years, I feel like has really helped them out with in terms of depth. And then if you have time, a quick question about Parkey. If they could try somebody out, would you rather that person fail or watch him sink the ship? Because I can't take him anymore. Thanks, guys.
Well, they're not. That's
I just don't think
kicker.
You can do that. I mean, at one point, like, why would you send that shockwave through your team with the same with the expectation that he might not be whatever kicker X might be just as good as Cody Parkey? Really? I mean, he is. You're bringing him in off the street. It's not as though there's a guy out there that's going to go 6-for-6 through the next couple of weeks. I mean, there's no guarantee of him being better, and you face having to put that sense of fear or whatever through your team that's already humming. The pros don't outnumber the cons, as bad a decision it has been to have Cody Parkey in the first place.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this Sunday when they host Illinois. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Tony and Saugatash, you're on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on the Score.
How you guys doing? Does anybody have any intel on the mayoral cheesesteak deep dish pizza bet coming up?
Nothing? It's going to happen, I can tell you that much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Point being, I guess I'm echoing previous callers. I don't see a team, like, in either conference, including the Chiefs, that really scares me as a Bears fan. They are peaking right now at the perfect time, in my opinion. I was just wondering what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, I think that is, we're holding this to be self-evident.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears can beat anybody. The Bears can win the Super Bowl. The Bears can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I keep on looking back at something we talked about in the 9 o'clock hour. That was a no-pick, no-sack game for Mitch. It wasn't a great game. He made a great throw to Taylor Gabriel. A great catch. He made a couple of really nice third down plays. He kept a couple alive with his feet. There were a couple of drives. There was a drive that got kept alive by roughing the passer penalty. Nice to have. It's not his best game, but coming off of what that was against the Rams, if that's what this looks like, if that's what your next 3 weeks looks like, I'm going to be signed up for that.
Yes, that's what you want. It's our guy KJ in Park Ridge on the Score. What's up, KJ?
Yeah, good morning. You guys are entertaining, same as always.
Thanks. Are you home from the hospital?
No, I'm transferred to a different hospital. I'm in a psychological hospital in Park Ridge.
Okay, just checking on you.
Yeah, I'll be okay. Don't worry. They always throw me in these psychological hospitals and throw me right out. They say there's nothing wrong with me, so I don't know, but they throw me in there in the first place. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to give you the next three opponents in the next four games or whatever Philadelphia, New Orleans, and the Los Angeles Chargers. I think the Bears are going to play the Chargers in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I think Philadelphia is going to be the roughest game they're going to have. I think New Orleans is going to be the second roughest, and I think the easiest game is going to be the Super Bowl. I think they're going to really rough up the Los Angeles Chargers in the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
It's a plan. I'm down. I'm with it. If you're signing me up for that, if that's you're writing them all the way through.
Right. So what do you guys think? You think Philadelphia is going to be the biggest challenge? They're the Super Bowl champs, dude.
Last year.
Yeah, but they're still, you know, powerful. I mean, if they made it to the Super Bowl and won it, we ought to be worried about it. Well, not worried. I think the Bears' defense is going to tear them up. I think the Bears' defense is going to tear up a lot of people for years to come.
I kind of agree with you, KJ.
Thanks, KJ.
That defense is one
Happy
that
New Year, man.
Pit against anybody, and I'm all set for having Nick Foles go against that Bears' defense. I'm happy to watch it happen.
Built Ford Tough Bears Mondays brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buy Ford now at .com. Downers Grove and Bill on WSCR.
Hell yes.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. How you doing?
Happy New Year.
Hey, first of all, you guys are awesome together. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
But what's called about is, do you remember the play? Trubisky got called for the illegal formation where he got set out there. Going into that play.
Yeah, it was. He wasn't set, right, Bill?
Right.
Yeah.
Going into that play, they telecast had the Bears losing 10-13. When I rewatched the game last night, I saw
yes.
that. I was like,
the score,
what is going on?
I always say get out of there before they change the scoreboard on you. You are absolutely right. The Fox Chiron flipped the 13-10 score for a brief period of time.
I missed that.
Yes.
Totally blew my mind. I was like, how did I miss that? The second thing I wanted to mention was at the end of the game when the Bears had the backup defense and they stopped the Vikings a couple of times, clearly the Viking offense had quit. Yep. You think they quit because it was over? Or they quit on Cousins because of his right and on the side?
No, I think more generalized just defeatism. I don't think there was an active decision that we are going to mutiny against our idiot quarterback. I thought this was just an, oh, God, I don't want to block these people anymore. They had their ears pinned back.
So it's not localized quitting.
Correct.
It's generalized
correct.
Quitting. Correct.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yes. It wasn't acute. It was more chronic. It was just sort of a sense of deflation across the board when they looked up and everyone's leaving. That does
wait,
it.
Wait.
Don't
where are
go.
You going?
Please don't leave.
I was going to make espresso. Here are the guys who made the tackles. Here are the guys that made the tackles. The last tackles of the last Vikings
that's
time.
That's a great
thank
pull
you.
On your
it's,
part.
Thank you. Appreciate
and the,
it.
And the fact that it's Hackman is so underrated.
Oh,
it is
just he's so happy I to know. Have him there yes. at the house.
Yeah.
Like cigars.
Yeah. I was going to make espresso.
Here are the names of the last tackles by the Bears. Sherrick McManus took down Adam Thielen. And then it was Joel E.A. Beniwe. Then it was DeAndre Houston Carson. Then it was Bilal Nichols, your guys. Mm-hmm. Then it was Kevin Tolliver. Those are the names of the Bears that made the final, what was that, six, seven?
Well, but really, tackles? Really, the final hit was Adrian Amos.
That was an announcement. That wasn't
yes,
a hit.
That was
a declaration.
That was one that told them, your day has ended.
All men are not created equal.
Yes, because 38 is here to lay wood to you.
That was, I mean, was that one of his better games this season?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was because of what he's asked to do. I guess sometimes you don't maybe see him as often as you see Eddie Jackson and what they're asking him to do in coverages, but boy, he laid the wood on a couple of different hits.
And someone tell Deion Bush, too, when a receiver is free over the middle, you're not allowed to rip his face off.
I didn't mind it. I really didn't. I swear to you, I know.
Penalty.
I'm not even going meatball. It was one of those things. Like, okay, fine. Make that penalty. Because if he makes that catch, and he probably should have, if his head wasn't being wrenched off his shoulders, he makes that catch. That's six because of where he was playing, where Bush was playing and trying to make that angle change. That's he wrenched his head off his shoulder. Sure, fine, whatever. It's fine.
It is New Year's Eve, and on New Year's Eve, something bubbly is a must. Whole Foods Market has you covered with 20% off select sparkling wines on sale from December 29th through January 1st. Shop today for all your New Year's Eve essentials. Whole Foods Market, whatever makes you whole. We are taking phone calls on Bears Monday, Built for a Tough Bears Monday, Bernstein and McKnight, leading up to the top of the hour when we will hear from Matt Nagy when he speaks live from Hallis Hall, the latest on the injured Bears and on plans for the upcoming playoffs. They're in. They won 12 damn games.
We'll bring it to you next. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
The Bears come here on the road. They beat the Vikings 24-10 in the season finale. Matt Nagy's first year, a memorable one.
David Haw here from the Mullen Haw Show. Mornings 5 to 9. Bring on the champions. The Bears are taking on the Super Bowl champion Eagles at Soldier Field in the wild card round. The postseason has finally come back to Chicago for the first time in 8 years, and we are covering it like no one else can on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for...
You think of the Home Depot for bedroom or bathroom updates, but bed linens or bath towels? Now you can find premium names like Laura Ashley, Eddie Bauer, and The Company Store at HomeDepot.com. It's a new year. Start with fresh new towels and bed linens from HomeDepot.com. Right now, up to 40% off with any order over $45 delivered free. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only, valid through February 3rd. Enter promo code BEDBATH15 at purchase for an extra 15% off.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Now, we can bring in Anthony Herron.
To me, the fact that we're starting to see Mitch Trubisky trending in a positive direction, you know, where it's really key, where it's crucial for the great quarterbacks to be at their best is, of course, late in game.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
I just kind of want to celebrate the Bears being fun. They are fun.
Yeah,
they are. They are an exciting watch.
Going into the weekend. We felt it all last week.
But it's not just because they're good.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station. Covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Tom Thayer.
Tom, there was one time we did know what Matt Nagy was thinking on the sidelines. That's when Mitch Trubisky came to the sideline during a timeout. He looked mad.
I love to see the tough love by Matt because he puts on a really happy face in front of all of us every week at the podium, which really surprises me. But I think when he's behind closed doors, coaching these guys, evaluating them, talking about the film study and what he's seen and how these, you know, players have to improve, what they have to work on. I think he's a really serious guy in terms of the team moments. But fortunately for us, we all admire that, how awesome he is at the podium and how well he speaks and the questions he's answering.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
It didn't go in our favor, and we weren't very efficient on offense last year. So just got to go back to work this week, prepare, and make sure we don't have that feeling from the game when we played them last year.
What he said. Mitchell Trubisky wants to make sure they don't have the feeling from the game last year. Bad feeling.
A number of texters and some callers are worried a little bit about the delay of game penalties. Delays of game penalties? McNeil hates it when you put the plural in the wrong thing in a conjoined phrase like that. Delays of game penalties?
Delay of game penalties.
Yeah, I think that's where it would go.
It's not like attorneys general.
No, not attorneys
general. Courts martial.
Surgeons general. That kind of. I think some of that can be ascribed to still being in the first year of an offense. As loath as I am to have to understand that in week 17, or to have to say that in week 17, but I don't know that that's an ongoing issue to me. That's not something that really concerns me. I mean, we had Lance Briggs in here just what, an hour and a half ago, something like that, saying there is the difference for players for the prep week heading into the play. It is a laser-like focus. It is just everything, according to him, everything is heightened. Everything is just so much more important. I would tend to imagine that that ratchets through a couple of notches, you know, in terms of getting things up to that next level. Whatever class Matt Nagy thinks he's teaching, whether it's 101 or 202, you know, he's changed it around as the year's gone on. This is like it's a master's class. Like that playoff pressure, the idea that you have to be perfect, it's at a different level now. And that can only help, I think, in developing Nagy and developing the offense and developing Mitch. I don't know that it fixes his accuracy issues.
It looks like he's fixing his accuracy issues for the most part. The ball placement has been better.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree. But that it's... Everybody makes overthrows. Every quarterback in this league, from peak Aaron Rodgers on down to John Skelton, has throws that they should have made, right? It's just... Seeing Mitch do it at times this season, when Matt has schemed wide receivers open, you see it more. It hurts more. It's more open, and you can't miss those throws.
This is Dave in Macomb. He's on the Score.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Hi, Dave.
It's great to talk to you. Usually I only get to listen on the podcast because I'm a teacher, so I usually listen to you guys in the morning, but we're driving back from Minnesota. We went to the game yesterday, and part of the delay of game thing was definitely, you know, it was very noisy in there to start with. Just small stories. I thought it was pretty interesting that Zach Miller was on the sidelines before the game in, like, workout clothes. So apparently he had been doing some kind of training with the team. I thought that was kind of interesting. We saw him. And then probably the coolest part of the game, besides the Bears winning, was before the game we got there early. And we were down near the sidelines, and when Taylor Gabriel was coming off the field, he threw his hat to my kid and caught it. So that was probably like the highlight of our weekend besides seeing the Bears win. I just wanted to share that with you guys and listen to your comments as I take off. Thanks. Keep up the good work. Appreciate it.
Cool, Dave. Drive safe.
Thanks, Dave.
Glad your kid got a hat.
Yeah.
The game hat, like the warm-up hat? That's cool.
Yeah, and Zach Miller's been with the team all year.
Yeah, I don't know that has he been on the sideline each game? I know I've seen him for a number of them.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of shots. He walks into the locker room with the team. He's been sort of a mascot for him this year.
That's what they wanted.
Yes.
That's what the front office, that's what ownership wanted him to be able to do. Mm-hmm. They apparently value that from him.
John and Elgin, you're on the Score.
Guys, great show. I love listening to Million Hall in the morning. You got my vote to move into the number two spot. Driving home, so great job. Hey, can I make two points, or am I allowed to only make one point?
You can make 2 points, but it's contingent on the first, John. So
okay, the first is I tried to call him for the Giants game, and I had this theory that the Bears are not going to win against a Super Bowl quarterback. And if you look at the four losses they've had, each of them have been to a team where the quarterback has played in the Super Bowl or was on the bench in the Super Bowl. And now we've got another Super Bowl quarterback coming in, so I'm worried
about
that.
Let's move on to the second.
That guy's name is Brock Osweiler, and I don't really... Let's go to the next one.
All right, second one. You know, I've lived in Green Bay, I've lived in Minneapolis, and I've been a Chicago Bears fan all my life. I love the fact that we kicked the Packers to the curb. But I do feel sorry for Zimmer. I like him. I like the Minnesota team. Whoever made that Kirk Cousins decision, I think they've got to go, because how could anyone not see that he's not a pressure quarterback? Even Trubisky is more cool and calm under pressure than Cousins is.
Why do you feel sorry for Mike Zimmer?
I just like him. I like Zimmer. I think he's a good coach. I don't know if losing Shurmur to the Giants made a difference, but I thought he has a good culture.
Okay. All right. I think it's a head coach of a team that was completely melting down, and he's the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, the buck has to stop at some point. Right. I did enjoy watching Zimmer in the Hard Knocks episode season he was in when he was the defensive coordinator with the Bengals, right? I thought he was fun.
No matter what, I don't care what Mike Zimmer ever does, he is still the guy who referred to the death of his wife as a tough day.
Oh, that's not where I thought you were going. I thought you were going to say he's the guy who saw J.J. Watt in Margus Hunt. Because that's what he said on Hard Knocks.
No, when he talked about the team was going through a difficult time, and he said it's not that big a deal. because he's been through worse. He said when his wife died, it was a tough day.
I guess everybody processes it differently. I don't even...
Well, that day's done.
He's that guy. We'll I don't know. Tomorrow. I can't process his grief for him.
And then he laughed it off, right? He's like, he laughs beforehand.
I mean, I don't think he was happy laughing. It was like a nervous laugh.
I don't, but the fact that it was like.
That happens, right? That's a thing.
That was a tough day. And then, you know, then you move on to the next one. Go get him.
Well. Fact of the matter is that Vikings team is going to have Kirk Cousins longer than it has Mike Zimmer, more than likely.
Woke up the next day.
3 years guaranteed.
Everything was fine. In Forest Park, Maxwell, you're on the score.
Max!
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
It's all right,
man. I just wanted to ask a quick question. It seems to me like we try to open it up a little bit more with some throws that were 20-plus yards. I know we hit the big one to Gabriel.
Uh-huh.
But it looked like we took a shot to Kevin White and I think another one to Bellamy as well. It seemed like we were trying to have throws of more 20-plus yards than we have in recent weeks. Do you think that's because maybe Xavier Rhodes wasn't out and just part of the game plan? Or maybe they wanted to put some more of that stuff on film heading into the playoffs to see what Mitch is really capable of doing?
No, I think they want big chunks of yards in games to score points and win games.
Sure.
They like throwing the ball down the field.
Okay. It just seems to me like they were taking a few more shots than I've seen.
I agree with you.
It depends as opposed to some of the more intermediate throws. That
well, it's always there.
On.
It's a matter of what they see actually and what Mitchell Trubisky actually sees. I don't think they go into any game thinking we're not going to try to throw for big chunks of yards. I mean, they always want the opportunity to do it. And it depends on what he sees in the defense, what he sees once they start somebody in motion, what his pre-snap reads are.
Yeah.
And if he's got a man-to-man, if he's got a one-on-one, they'll take those shots.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Yep. You got it, Max.
Especially this week. This secondary blows.
Especially this coming week. Yeah, I mean, Mitch has mentioned after the Green Bay game and the one prior, I think it was in consecutive weeks, that they knew they were going to get more zone and they were looking to keep things underneath and they were looking to be a little bit more conservative, I suppose. I liked seeing as many downfield throws, as many 20-plus throws as Matt Nagy showed you yesterday. I like that aspect of the offense. I like their willingness to push it downfield. I like that for the first 10 weeks. It's nice to see it back.
I want to make sure I got the Mike Zimmer thing. This was Mike Zimmer.
Like, how do you handle the influences? A lot of the players love Teddy as a person and admire how he plays. So it's one thing saying we're going to be next man up and we're going to not put our heads in the sand, but how do you as a coach physically make sure that, you know, they're grieving a loss today and right. Then taking it and moving forward positively.
That's right. You're exactly right. You know, it's tough today, but tomorrow the sun's going to... Hey, my wife passed away 7 years ago, right? It was a tough day. The sun came up the next day. The world kept spinning. People kept going to work. And that's what we're going to do.
There it is. There it is. So I was not misrepresenting the direct quote that I was talking about after the injury to Teddy Bridgewater. He said, hey, listen to this. You know, my wife died. Sun came up the next day. What are you going to do?
I want to hear the eulogy from her funeral. Yep, she's dead. Yeah, next.
All right. Now, Dale, next wife up. And these things happen. And, you know, you move on to the next one. Get them coached up. And that's that. If I'm standing there as a reporter, you got to be like, what?
I'm going to leave now.
What? Yeah, you know, it was a tough day. You know, sun came up. Got a new wife. She's nice.
I went to school for this job, but never in my life did I think I'd be having to ask a follow-up to that.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. See, he said it. Join Coach Collins and the Wildcats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena when they host Illinois this Sunday. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Grabbing phone calls on a built for tough Bears Monday and celebrating the playoff-bound 12-win Bears. We're going to hear from Matt Nagy momentarily on the score.
The Bears come here on the road. They beat the Vikings 24-10 in the season finale. Matt Nagy's first year, a memorable one.
David Haw here from the Mullen Haw Show. Mornings 5 to 9. Bring on the champions. The Bears are taking on the Super Bowl champion Eagles at Soldier Field in the wild card round. The postseason has finally come back to Chicago for the first time in 8 years, and we are covering it like no one else can on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago.
Imagine your dream carpet installed for free. The Home Depot offers all-inclusive installation on minimum purchases of $699. That's removal of your old carpet, basic furniture moving, and stairs so the dream carpet you want comes at the price you were expecting. free carpet installation that's actually free. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid only on showroom carpet price. $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. Do not forget to buy lentils, or the lentil soup you're making for dinner will be sorely lacking. By the way, Mrs. Calloway says thanks for helping her bundle home and auto. She appreciates the extra savings, even though you kept using the word apropos incorrectly. But the main thing is, do not forget to buy, what was it? Something apropos the lentil soup. Sorry, I'll call you back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
You think of the Home Depot for bedroom or bathroom updates, but